Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hello and welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Tipping Postcast. I am Stuart Riley and I am joined by Paul Keeley, David Jennings and Neil Ryan from our sponsors Paddy Power. Hello gents.
Hello Stu, how are you doing?
Yeah, very good, thank you, very good. Let's kick things off at Sandown. We'll start with the first race there, the 150. Keels, what do you make of it?
Well, a bit boring, but you know, I think the favourite sort of stands out here. Rapid Applause, trained by Mick Easterby, ridden by Frankie Dettori. He's won his last two starts. He hasn't been seen for the best part of 4 months, but on the first of those starts, he thrashed Tanasok. He was rated 74 then, is now rated 95. Next time out of Hamilton, he won by a length from a horse who's won three times since and not been out of frame in seven starts overall, and is up at, you know, £12 or so. And Rapid Applause just looks like one of those late maturing six-year-olds. He was trained in Ireland before joining Mick Easterby for this season. He's actually only got about three or four ahead of him in the betting for the Air Gold Cup. He's got zero chance of getting into that unless he wins twice between now and then. He's got a draw in stall three, which I think is good for him. And, you know, I know he's only about a 7-2 chance, but I think he's got a fair shot.
Brilliant. Neil, can we get a price there?
Yeah, so Rapid Applause is 7.25. We have Global Applause is 7-1. Hadaf and Shamsun are 8-1, and Rio Ronaldo and Bahamian Surprise 9-1, and it's 11-1 bar.
Perfect. And while we're with you, Neil, can you talk us into anything else other than Rapid Applause?
Yeah, Rapid Applause is the understandable favourite, as was pointed out by Keels there. Eye-catching jockey booking with Frankie aboard. We're actually offering four places at 150 odds here, so I'd definitely like to take it on with something each way. And the one I'm interested in is Global Applause. 4-year-olds have won this race 3 out of the last 4 years. He's grouped two place form as a 2-year-old. He was 2.5 lengths behind Harry Angel. He was rated as high as 107. Now he's slightly lost his way in the last couple of years, but he's now 10 pence lower in the handicap. I'm just hoping the change in yard and that 107 day break will kind of sweeten him up. And one of the things I say to listeners is I'd probably recommend waiting until the morning to back him just to see if he takes a walk in the betting market, as he might just need the run for fitness. But I think he's a nice each-way squeak.
Yeah, David, will we be clapping your tip as well, or are you going for something that doesn't have applause in its name?
I see what you did there. That was very impressive for a debutant. Very impressive. Bruce would be proud. Look, Rapid Applause is by far the most likely winner. This horse was rated 110 when it was with Michael O'Callaghan. It was third to Dick Whittington in an Anglesey in Ireland. Like, if it was 110 in its juvenile career, there was something to work with there. And obviously, Mick Easterby has found the key to him. Off 91, I'd say he will finish the season off a three-figure mark. The problem is the price. And I think, if people regularly listen to this podcast, if you have a handicap with 14 runners, the one thing you can be guaranteed is that Paul Keeley will not tip the favourite. So when he does, this is a proper tipster, proper winning punter, unlike myself, who has studied this handicap, I'd imagine inside out, all week, and he's telling you that the 7-2 favourite is value. I think that speaks volumes, so I'm going to row in behind him. Just one of the bigger price that could be interesting, it's not drawn well, is Jasma from the Richard Hughes stable. Now, for in-running punters, this horse must be a dream or a nightmare if you go the other way. He's been beaten at 1.54, 1.24, 2.48, and 1.15 in running last time at Newbury. Travels really well. Just that last 50 yards is a killer. But I think Sandown suits. It's interesting, Jamie Spencer has been booked. Blinkers on. I'd imagine it's going to be watching the race between your fingers because it's going to be held up out the back. But has tons of speed. Probably wants a 4.5 furlong race. It's 16-1. I think it'll run well. It probably won't win, but I think it'll finish in the first four. And I think the most likely winner is Rapid Applause.
Perfect. Thank you, David. We'll move on to the 225, which was won last year by Thundering Blue. Whether there's anything in there this year that can go on to quite the same heights, I'm sure we'll discuss that. But Neil, can we start with you and get some betting?
Yeah, so History Rider for the same connections is 4-1-5. Communique is 13-2. Mountain Angel and Red Force are 7-1. Not So Sleepy 8-1, and it's 9-1 bar.
And your thoughts, Neil?
Yeah, again, we're offering a four place of 150 odds here, so it's a nice each way betting heat. The one I quite like, even though it's a very trappy contest, is Mountain Angel, the four-year-old gelding for Roger Varian. He's just an ultra-consistent performer. He's had 12 career runs and has finished placed or better in 9 of those runnings. He's interestingly drawn from the same stall as last year's winner in stall 8. The one thing, I'll just be interested to see how Egan actually rides him. As early in his career, he was held up, but last time out, he tried to make the run and he was sent off Fav. That day, he was back off a 79-day break, so I just reckon he might have just got caught out for fitness and was tipped off into third, and I'll be hoping for a better running this time around and reckon he's a great each-way shout.
Perfect. And your thoughts, David?
Yeah, I'm gonna give Communique another chance. I know it's only a week after his York run, but he's so progressive. And these Mark Johnson horses, it doesn't matter if they run every day of the week. It doesn't matter if they run three times a day. They seem to take their racing so well. I thought at York last time, its effort can be upgraded because Silvestre made his move near the far side rail, which wasn't the place to be all week. And I just thought when they fanned out up the home straight, he didn't want to be there. He tried to get towards the middle, but then the challenge 2 furlongs out because I think he's on a horse that definitely stays 10 furlongs. And it ended up being beaten just over 4 lengths. I thought it was value for finishing a good bit closer. I thought it was probably the second best horse in the race. I think Sandown will suit better. I think he just, Sylvester will be able to sit maybe second or third. Strong in stall 10, so he's plenty of early gears and he'd be able to get across from there. I just went through the race. I don't think there's that many kind of hidden in the long grass here. Usually in this race, you've got some flyers that could potentially be a stone ahead their mark. I don't think there are. I think Communique will end up being a group performer. And yeah, he's actually one of my strongest fancies of the day.
Very interesting, Paul. Agree, disagree?
No, I think it's one of the hardest races of the day, to be honest. I could have made a case for many. I mean, in fact, the guys have picked two, and they weren't on my list. I'm going to back two. I've already backed Alma Reb of Richard Hannon's. Now he's got some. He's a course winner with plenty of decent course form. He's just shaped at Newbury last time as though he wanted another crack at a mile and a quarter. He's not a certainty on pedigree. He's only run over it once, and that was on bad ground when he finished second. I give him a shot. I'm quite interested at a much bigger price on Restorer of Ian Williams, though. He's only three. He's run twice and not so well since he won at Chester, but he's only £3 higher than when absolutely bolting up from the front of Chester. And he's still got plenty. You know, he's got that plenty of back form in the book that says he's a much better horse than a 98. And just looking through the field, I was wondering how many horses are going to want to go from the front here. And I think, you know, Ian Williams is a book James Doyle, who I think he's ridden more winners in the last 5 years at Sandown than anyone other than Ryan Moore. And he might just pop him out in front and control it. There's only 12 runners in the race. And I just think at 16-1, he might be worth a chance.
Very interesting. We'll move on to the Atalanta Stakes. And I believe we've got a very short price favourite here, Neil.
Yeah, Voracious is our 8-11 favourite. Laugh Aloud is 7-2. Winter Lightning, 7-1. Awesome a Tank is 9-1 and 12-1 bar.
What do you make of those prices, Paul? Because Voracious is... It's very short there against some really decent opposition.
Yeah, she's very short. She's achieved a high level in a short space of time, though, hasn't she? Because she was only a maiden winner last year, and then she went, you know, she on a second start. She's run two Group 1s so far this season, finished third in both, ran really well in the Nassau last time, won't have any problem dropping back to a mile. The race is a race that Sir Michael Stout used to farm. He hasn't won it since 2013, but she's got a solid favourites chance. I mean, the only thing is, what they're going to do with her, they held her up to get the trip last time. She went forward at Ascot, when third to Alpha Centauri. Because Laugh Aloud likes to go forward. Awesome Tank likes to go forward. Made the running when winning the I think it was a cold distaff on Eclipse Day. I think one other has gone from the front as well. So there could be, you know, a fair bit of pace on. I do like her. I love Laugh Aloud. I thought she was a Group 1 winner in waiting last year after winning at Epsom on Derby Day. And Awesome Tank's just one of those tough fillies who keeps finding a bit more. I'm not in a massive mood for taking Voracious on, but if she's not a major drifter, then Laugh Aloud interests me. Trained by John Godson, obviously a Godolphin filly, but she has nothing but Group 1 entries going forwards. I think she has 3 or 4. And I think if they're hopeful about her still retaining all of ability, she'll give the favourite plenty to think about.
David, agree?
This is really, really boring and unusual for me. It's going to be extremely short. Voracious wins. Move on.
All right, Neil?
Yeah, it's very hard to see past Voracious. I think the complexion of the race is really dominated by the fact the two market rivals just have answers or questions to answer, particularly over fitness. I would be interested in Laugh Aloud if she wasn't so off the track for over 450 days. If you had to take her on with something, possibly Winter Lightning, who showed a lot of form in Maidan before beating at 1-5 odds in her last outing, was potentially a superstar, but again, you're taking a lot of risk there with backing her. So obviously the solid one is Voracious, and she's probably the right price.
Perfect. And the other Group 3 on Sandown's card is the Solario Stakes, won last year by the Derby winner, Massa. What are your thoughts there, Paul? It's an interesting looking contest. Another one, cases could be made for plenty of these.
Well, yeah, cases could be made for plenty, but we've got a red hot favourite and two darn hot. John Gosden's, who is already second favourite for the Derby, might be brilliant, is a brother to Larty Dar, who looks like he's going to go run in the arc after winning the Gorton Stakes at York last week. And if he's as good as her, or Somi Dar, who's another brother, another sister, then he's going to be very good. Problem is, he's been well found in the market, hasn't he? He won very, very easily in a one-mile maiden at Sandown, but in a very, very slow time. I mean, he's basically not done anything that any of the other five wouldn't have done in that race. And he's a strong favourite on the basis of it. He has the worst form in the race, obviously, because he's only running the maiden and all the others have had a go at group company, or at least better company. I'm always inclined to take this sort of horse on. I thought Confiding looked potentially very, very good when winning his maiden at Newbury in a race that worked out very, very well. He got caught out by the step up in class first time. I think horses stepping into group country straight from a once race maiden is something like 13% or something. It's not particularly high. It is difficult. I'd imagine John Gosden's record is better. I think in group three level he's got a 40% strike rate. So you know, you can't just take the whole lot in one go. But even so, I think Confiding will improve. And you know, I backed him each way when there was more runners anti post, but I mean, I still think he's got a fair shot of taking down the winner. I think he'll improve past Dunkerque, who was ahead of him in the Vintage Stakes. But you can't rule out others. Arthur Kitt, obviously the Chesham winner, that form's worked out. The fourth, the dual group winner at Deauville. Victory Command will get the run of the race. He's a big price for a Mark Johnson runner, absolutely guaranteed to go from the front with Sylvester D'Souza on. I might save on him. It'd be great to see a horse come out and be a real Derby challenger, but I'm not buying into him just yet.
David, Paul's given us a fairly good overview there of the race and its complexities. Where are you falling?
Yeah, my theory is, and this could be completely wrong, it really could, and you know, Paul, come in here if you want, but I just thought for Dark Vision to be able to do what he did at Goodwood, visually was remarkable, but there must have been something wrong with the opposition if he was able to do that. If he was able to be keen, get impeded early, get pushed back to the back of the pack, and still have the natural pace and ability to come from last to first in the space of a furlong, like, he's a very good horse. I don't think he's unable. So I just have real question marks about the horses that were beaten in the Vintage Stakes, because if they weren't able to capitalise on what happened to Dark Vision in that race, they mustn't be that good. Arthur Kitt, I go back to the Ascot run, and Nate the Great has been beaten since. That race was a funny race. The Mark Johnson horse was well back, didn't give its running. Worried about that. And you know what? I think Too Darn Hot is the only potential star in the lineup. I think the rest of them are much of a mushness, and I don't think they're that good. And I know you're taking a price on promise rather than substance, but I think there's a fairly decent chance that Too Darn Hot is exactly what his name says. So I think you'll win.
Neil, Too Darn Hot, he's a short price, isn't he? Can you make the case that that's value?
I can't, no. He's just gotten too short at this stage. Yeah, he could go out and win by six lengths and be a next superstar, but I'd definitely like to take him on the price. I agree with David on the form of the Qatar Vintage Stakes. It seemed a very strange race, and even Cosmic Law and Mark Johnson's horse Getcha Getcha have come out and run since, and they just ran no race whatsoever. So unless Dark Vision is a freak, there was something up with that race. I would have been interested in Watan. Richard Hannon has some great two-year-olds. He was just pipped by a nice runner in the Accom Stakes, but the 10-day break just worry me with a two-year-old's asking a lot. So I landed on Arthur Kitt. For those who don't know, there's an amazing story behind this horse. Ceiling Kitty, his dam, who won the Queen Mary for the Yard in 2012, actually died giving birth to this horse. He's obviously got bags of speed from the dam side, but when you look back at the Chessman Stakes, he was probably one of the first off the bridle, and I think the stamina from Camelot's side came true. Richard Kingsoe came out after the race, said he'll certainly need to travel better than he did, but the stiff finish at Sandown will suit. I'm just hoping he replicates what Messiah, last year's winner, does and wins this and goes on to win the Derby next year.
Yeah, interesting. And can we get prices there for Two Darnheart, Arthur's Kit and Confiding?
Yeah, so Two Darnhearts are 11-10, 5. Confiding is 5-1. Watan 11-2. And Arthur Kit is 6-1.
Perfect. And guys, any other fancies at Sandown?
Not for me, no.
David?
Yeah, I've won in the 4-10, Uncle Jerry. I think could be well handicapped in his first nursery off a mark of 72. Again, like earlier on the card with Yasma, same colour, same combination. Richard Hughes' book, Jamie Spencer. I just thought the second run at Wolverhampton suggested that he could be well in off 72, was beaten by So Brave, was only beaten half a length, was actually quite unlucky that day, missed a break. Has a habit of just being slowly away, which is a little bit... But this isn't a good nursery, I don't think. There's a lot of exposed starts. Even Keel is likely to be favoured. And I think Uncle Jerry, I think Sandown and Suit, 7 furlongs should be fine. And Spencer is just never been riding better.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard to argue with. And Neil, any other fancies at Sandown?
There's one in the 4:45 for Mick Easterby called Roller. Frankie's on board, so he's riding twice for Mick Easterby on the day. There's just a step down in class there. He ran too freely in his return last time out. He's been sent off fab or second fab for all 9 of his starts since joining the Easterby Yard. So he's obviously doing a bit of work or decent work at home. And if it's any sort of prize, I think he's got a great chance of winning.
Perfect. Thanks for that. We will go to an ad break.
Success ain't earned. It's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back, and we will crack on with the Beverly Bullet next. 11 runners here, Paul, and sort of got a wide open look to it. What do you make of the race?
Yeah, it's a very wide open race, isn't it? We all know that you need a low draw normally at Beverly, but you think a lot of the contenders are drawn out wide, including Take Cover, who won the race last year. He's going to be coming from stall 9 and is the obvious pace in the race. He's got to get over. Probably will. I still like Mr. Lupton, even though he's got a £3 penalty. He's still the second best in the race on the figures with that £3 penalty. He's drawn 10. I don't think that matters so much with him because he's going to be coming from behind anyway. He was a bigger price earlier in the week. Probably still a bit bigger than he should be because he ran badly in the... In the Nunthorpe at York last time, but that's the second time this season he's missed the break over 5 furlongs. You just can't do that. He far from always misses the break. Otherwise, he's won a couple of good races at York this year. I think stiff 5 furlong at Beverley will really suit him. He was beaten a length in this race as a 3-year-old in 2016. He's definitely more the finished article now, and I think he'll be rattling home faster than most.
Yeah, Neil. I mean, where are you sitting with this race?
Yeah, I'll just pop out the prices first. So we have Take Cover at 5-2, Mr. Lupton at 10-3, Final Venture 7-2, Elnadim Star 6-1 is 10-1 bar. The one I like here is Elnadim Star, who I can't pronounce. She's a 3-year-old filly. She looks like a potential, group horse. She's won 4 of her 6 starts, second on the other occasion. She's won twice the track as a 2-year-old. She's looking for back-to-back listed races, and if you look at her last race, she was going away at the line, just looked a really impressive performance, and I like the fact she's been given a 70-day break, and so she's nice and fresh. Only has £7 at the waist to find to Take Cover, and I think it's 6-1, that's a nice each-way price.
And David, what's your take on the race?
Oh, we're drinking in the same boozer here, Keels. Mr. Lupton for me. I was actually really hoping the Paul had tipped this.
Hang on, when are we going to drink in the same boozer? Because I've still only had one pint of Guinness off you. You're supposed to keep me in Guinness for the rest of my life.
Yeah, it said a lifetime of Guinness, but your doctor told you you shouldn't be drinking. So I'm looking after your health, Paul. Mr. Lupton, like, actually, this form, like, obviously these are all pretty well-known sprinters, but when you actually delve into Mr. Lupton's form, like, three starts ago at York in a listed race, it beat Alfa Delfini. Like, that is the standout piece of form here. After that, it was fourth to Batash at Goodwood. Like, was narrowly beaten for second. As Paul said, ran well in the race here as a three-year-old when the likes of Alfa Delfini, Muttmir, was in the race. He's a better horse now. It's just a case of luck and running. I think if the gap's open, and even, I just wonder, will Paul Hannigan say to himself, do you know what, this is the best horse in the race. Let's just sit out the back and then just maybe two out, just ease to the outside, and hopefully he'll have enough pace to come with a wet sail without having to come through them. Because a couple of recent races at Beverley, horses have been kind of coming on the outside. It's not a huge advantage to be on the rail. So I just think class will prevail here, and Mr. Lupton will win.
Very interesting. Just a slight mention for the sentimental among you. Line of Reason runs in the race for the fifth year in a row. So he's not won it yet. I'm not saying he will do, but you don't get too many flat horses.
He does
horses
run the course well, doesn't he?
He does, there's no doubt about it. You don't get too many flat horses that run in the same race 5 years in a row.
No.
That caught my eye. We'll move to Chester now. And the 205 at Chester. Neil, can we get some betting?
Lake Volta at 4-1. Poet Society 5-1. Shady McCoy 11-2. Dara Prince 7-1. Otis Is Us 8-1. And 9-1 Bar.
And I mean, we'll stay with you, Neil. You can be first to dissect the race for us.
It's not one I have a very strong opinion on. It's a very trappy contest. The one I think is overpriced is Otis Is Us. 5-year-old for Richard Hannon and Harry Bentley on board. He has to give a fair bit of weight here, but he's lowering his colours from a Group 2 last time out. He actually only finished 2.5 lengths behind Beat the Bank in the Celebration Mile. Has won over course and distance in a Lister race. He's back down to only £1 higher than last winning handicap back in 2017 off 107. He's a very consistent performer, and I think he's banged there with an each way chance.
Paul?
Again, another difficult race. Very, very obvious favourite in Lake Volta. He was third in the big handicap at Goodwood last time. He's got the draw in stall two. He's got Franny Norton. Unfortunately, the market's found him quite easily in his 4-1. And I can't really play at that sort of price. There seems to be plenty of pace on here. And I have a feeling Lua of Kevin Ryans could just get round and track that pace from stall four. And be a big, big player. Now, he absolutely bolted up earlier in the season at Musselburgh on softish ground from a mark of 92, went up to 99. He's back down to 93 now. Showed a sign of a return to form and third to get knotted at York on his last start at the end of July. And he has won his only previous start at Chester, so I just thought he was interesting. He's a double-figure price. Obviously, Chester's a nightmare of a course to punt on because you miss the break or you don't get a run or whatever. You don't get a good trip through. So many horses can't win after a furlong. But hopefully, if he gets the right break in a decent position, he's got a big chance.
Very, very interesting. And David, are we going to agree with Paul again? Or
No. No, no,
oh, good.
No,
an
no,
original
no,
DJ
no,
thought.
No.
Let's hear it.
No, no, there's only so many pints you can drink with Paul Keighley. You have to go out on your own at some stage. I am going to take a flyer here on a horse that ran deplorably last time, but there have been excuses. And the handicapper has given it such a chance, and that's Arcanada for Tom Dascom. Interesting, Hayley Turner rides, which I think is a strange jockey book, and I can't remember her riding too many for Tom Dascom. But Arcanada, right, was rated 107 in April. 107. It's now down to 96. It missed the break completely last time at York and ran no sort of race. The handicapper dropped to £3, having dropped to £2, having ran well behind Get Knotted at York before that. It's back at Chester, and we all know Tom Dascom loves to have winners at Chester, obviously at the big meeting earlier on in the year, but he does love having winners at Chester. And the key thing here is Arcanada is 2 from 3 at Chester. It's twice won over the course and distance. It's all about the break here. Completely all about the break. You'll know after 0.5 seconds how Arcanada is going to run. If he does ping the lids and gets to the rail and gets in front, I think off 96 he's going to be very hard to catch.
Very interesting stuff. We will move on to the listed Chester Stakes, which, funnily enough, is also at Chester. And Neil will give us some betting.
Giretto is our short price favourite at 8-11. Here and Now is 9-2. Hochfeld is 6-1. Top Tug 15-2 and 12-1 Bar.
And Neil, are you with or against the odds-on favourite?
I can't find anything that will beat Giretto. Just really not much to talk about. I just think he should be shorter. I would have thought he would actually be around 4-7. There was 7-4 out there when it was priced up, but it was snipped down straight away. The field is £11 to find. Balding's on form with a 25% strike rate in the last 14 days. He's won on the track, so handles it. Just can't see him being beat.
David, Paul, can either of you make a case to get Giretto beat?
It's hard, I must admit. When I saw the prices originally, I mean, he was still odds against last night, which was quite surprising, because given how much he's got in hand. He is a six-year-old, but he has run, you know, he's run base post ratings of 114 on his last two starts, which is a fair bit higher than anything else has, and he does handle the track. He's going to be very, very hard to beat. If I was going to put up one against him, it'd be Hochfeld. He's got three places to make up with on Here and Now and York running, but he was giving chunks of weight that day, and he is 2 from 2 at the track. Will probably make the run in and get the run of the race under Franny Norton. If he does, you've seen what happened. There are horses that handle Chester so well that they're just better there than anywhere else. It's not necessarily true of Hochfeld yet, because he's much higher in the ratings now than he was when he was winning there. But I can see him running well, but you know, it's not a race I'm massively keen to punt.
David?
No interest. Favourite will probably win, but no point in me taking up time talking shite. Don't really. It'll probably win, but...
Well, you do that for the rest of your life.
I know. See, you have to leave them wanting more, Paul.
Well, in that case, we will go to a quick ad break and we'll leave them wanting some more.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet the next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back, and we will now move to the Curragh on Saturday, and... a break from the norm. I think David Jennings is going to give us some prices on the Snow Fairy Filly Stakes. DJ?
Just Powers don't have prices in yet. So I just said part of my daily jobs is spotlights. So I'm going to have a blast at trying to price this up. I think Desert Diamond will be favoured, who beat Snowy Winter, who won a Lister race last time at Goran Park. Beat it by 6 lengths at York. Now rated 107. So Michael Stout has only had 7 runners at the Curragh in the last 5 years. He's had 1 winner, so he's picking his Curragh runners sparingly. So I think Desert Diamond will be favourite. So I'd put Desert Diamond in around 15-8. I think Mary Tudor, who's rated 110, will be second favourite. So I'd say Mary Tudor will be about 3-1. Then you've got the likes of I'm So Fancy, consistent performer for Jessica Harrington. That'll be an each way price, along with Turret Rocks. They'll probably be around 11-2 or 5 or 6-1. Snowy Winter will be about 8-1. And there you go. So that'll be mine. In around 15-8, 2-1 Desert Diamond, and probably 7-2 Mary Tudor, 5's bar.
All right, and we will cut straight to Neil, who will give us an appraisal of how DJ did there. What do you reckon, Neil? Is your job in danger?
I'm impressed, yeah. Did it pay well over in Racing Post, DJ?
No. I have actually, to tell you how badly it pays, for people who can watch on, one of my colleagues this morning spotted that I've got a tear in my shirt. So you see here, there's actually a tear there. So that tells you how badly it's paid.
Right, well, we'll sort that out with the entrance fee. So we'll have the interview set out for next week. No, he did very well there. I'd have to agree. It would probably be close between Mary Tudor and Desert Diamond. A lot of the forecasts have Mary Tudor's favourite, but I can't have that. The one I do like is Desert Diamond. I don't have much to add to what DJ said. When Stout sends one over to the Curragh, you stand up and take notice, and she's a vastly improving filly who absolutely bowls it up by 6 lengths last time out, so she's
perfect.
One for me.
And just a word of warning, if you're going to interview DJ, you'll probably need to set aside at least a week for his answers. Paul? Any thoughts on this?
Not massively. I'd like the race to have been today, so I could. I backed a horse that was second to Espair, who's stepping up quite dramatically in class. I thought she did win pretty well that day, and might be interesting. But it's got an awful lot to find on the bare form of that. But she has won 3 of her 4 starts. I'd be interested to see how she goes. But it's not a race I've got a massive opinion on.
Fair enough, Neil. You do have prices on the Irish Cambridgeshire, so. Why don't you hit us with those, and then we'll delve into that one.
Yeah, so we're paying 5 places, 150 odds on this. Terzetto and Sir Jack Thomas are 7-1 joint favs. We have Firmament at 8-1, Band of Outlaws 10-1, Kenya is 12-1. Dreamwalker, Katiman, Turbine, Lethal Power are all 14s, and it's 16-1 bar.
Perfect. And what are your thoughts on the race? Where do you see the value?
It's obviously a very tricky one. With the places there, I'd like to pick a solid performer in Firmament. He is quite difficult to win with.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. We know Amir has a great record in the big handicaps. He travelled by far the best, I thought, last time out in York. Didn't really get the clearest of runs, and Frankie just set a perfect fractions on front on the Johnson runner, and he finished third that day. Look, I think he'll be in the frame. Whether he wins or not, it's a different story, but at 8-1, I'd take an each way shot.
David?
I actually really like one here at a huge price. I'm going to take a chance on Omran for Ger Lyons, Colin Keane, and David Spratt. A couple of interesting things here. Ger Lyons loves nothing better than trying to win Premier Handicaps, and he's a bit of a genius at it. His record in Premier Handicaps is terrific, and his record in Premier Handicaps with horses that came from England the previous season is cracking as well. Omran was trained by Marco Botti, and when it won twice from Marco Botti across the water, and when it joined, Ger was rated 93. Then, I think, I could be wrong here now, but I think this has been the plan all season. This is a complete guess now, absolutely. He could be listening to this, I doubtful, but he could be listening to this and going, what is that Jennings fella talking about? This is rubbish. This is a last-minute decision. But I think this race has been in mind for Omran from the start of the season. He ran in Navan in a sprint, first time out, and ran quite well, over 5 furlongs, like way shorter than it should be running over. It was gelded afterwards. It's been given loads of time to get over having that apparatus taken away. And it ran last time in the Curra over 6 furlongs again. And I think Ger has wisely decided, let's get this horse ready for a Premier Handicap by running it over shorter distances. Really, it wants 7 furlongs or a mile. But it ran really well behind St. Breedlad's Bay, stayed on really nicely under a hands and heel ride from Colin Keane. It's been dropped again another pound to 89, so it's now £4 lower than when it started with Ger. And I just think this has been the plan all year. I think he said, we have a Cambridgeshire horse here. Let's play it softly, softly. Let's get through the season. It'll handle a bit of cut in the ground. And off a mark of 89, it's 20-1. Again, it's a guess, but it's a pretty educated guess. I think Omran is a big chance.
Go on then, Paul.
I'm going to take one at a chance as well. And, you know, it does worry me when you've got a 20-odd runner handicap and a horse hasn't got a lot of experience. But I thought Jesse Harrington Sharkle was quite a big price at 25-1. Now, he's only won a maiden on his second start and then ran in a conditions race last time and got beat. But he went slow enough earlier that day and he took a fair tug and then he got outpaced. And it was only in the last sort of furlong that he really started to pick up. And he was beating around half a length. He was actually giving us nearly a stone to the winner. Whether or not he's well handicapped on the mark of 92, 93, I don't know. But I think just a strong run race at a mile might help. Draw and stall 21. He's been quite a few high drawn winners of this race, especially including in the last 2 years. And I thought 25-1 was just bigger than I was expecting for an unexposed horse who could have plenty of improvement to come. So I'll take a chance.
Perfect. And I mean, this was a card that both Saxon Warrior and US Navy Flag won on last year. Is there anything else at the Curra?
Well, you know, the big horse that everybody will be talking about is this 10 Sovereigns that won last week. 5-1 shot in the maiden last week, won by 7 lengths. It's favourite in like a fledgling market for the Commonwealth Cup. It's about 25-1 for the Guineas, although not really bred to be anything other than the sprint, you'd have thought, being out of no-nay never. Going to be a very, very short price. Earned a Racing Post rating of 102 on that debut. That is extremely high. Now, I had a look at these horses that, you know, trainers who have horses that run big first time out, and I spotted one at Royal Ascot for Mark Johnston, and he had a bad record with him second time out. So I had a little look at Aidan O'Brien. This is only the 5th 2-year-old that O'Brien has had that bust an RPR of 100 since 2007. 3 of the other 4 got beat at odds of 9-10, 2-5 and 2-7 next time out. So very interesting. We'll see what happens to 10 Sovereigns. I'm a Jesse Harrington fan this week. I'm going to have a little few quid on Sir Valen, who was 6 to Signor Cabello at Royal Ascot. That race is obviously quite a decent 2-year-old race. I'll take a chance on getting what is going to be a very short price favourite rolled over.
Interesting stuff. DJ, you're a Jesse Harrington fan every week. What anything else catch your eye at the Curragh?
What do you mean by that?
Well, she's cracking, isn't she? Can't have a bad word to say about Jesse, can you?
Yeah, no. I thought there was something else lingering behind your brain there.
No, not at all.
I'm getting married on New Year's Day, remember. A couple of things here. Sir Valen would be the one that I would be interested in against 10 Sovereigns, because I thought it ran really well at Royal Ascot and was very impressive at Nace, and they do think the world of her. But just on 10 Sovereigns, interestingly enough, I was on a news shift during the week, and I spoke to Donegh O'Brien, Aidan O'Brien, and Colin Keane for different pieces that I was doing, and I brought up 10 Sovereigns in each of the conversations. So the first conversation was with Colin Keane, who rode Rita Levi, who I think went off favour for that 6 furlong maiden last week. And I said, what did you make of 10 Sovereigns? He goes, I kind of fancied Rita Levi, who they think a bit of in Jerz. And he said it was incredible. He said, like, three out, he goes, I'm going, right, this is travelling nicely. And he said, Donegh came up beside me, and he was doing a half speed. And he said, the horse must be a machine to go past his horse. Now, his horse didn't run particularly well, but he said it was just the way that he went by in a couple of strides, he said, was incredible. He said he reckons the horse is special, and Colin wouldn't be one for hyperbole. So it was an interesting... Then I spoke to Donegh, and he made a very interesting point, which was obviously obvious. He goes, the other 24 can't all be absolutely useless. It was a 25-runner, Curragh maiden, and he said, look, the other 24 can't be useless. He said, this horse could be very, very good. And then the most interesting comment of the lot came from Aidan O'Brien. I said, Aidan, was a surprise? The horse started a 5-1, won by 7 lengths. You're not used to having winners on debut. I said, was it a surprise? Thinking he would say, yeah, it was a surprise. He goes, God, no, not at all. He says, we thought the absolute world of this horse in the spring, but he had a little bit of a setback, so we had to take a softly, softly approach. But he said, in the spring, this basically, reading between the lines, he thought this was his best juvenile. We saw that at the Curragh last week. So Paul's point is very, very valid with these horses that produce a phenomenal performance first time out. But just listening to three sources who are very close to the horse, I think we could be seeing something a little bit special here in 10 Sovereigns. But as Paul said, Sir Valen could be the bet without.
Perfect. And yourself, Neil, anything else you fancy at the Curragh?
No, nothing further to add to the 10 Sovereigns piece there. I just read a couple of pieces on the timings as well. The timings were meant to be incredible, so looking forward to
that
seeing it.
That always worries me as well, the timings and that, because it's run so big first time out, as whether they come back. Two of those three that lost were returning to the track within about 10 or 11 days as well. So, it was quite interesting. Get back out. You've run a that's the first time in his life that he's raced. I don't know how hard they work him at home, but obviously what has that taken out of him?
Yeah, it's a fair point that even though he hosed up, it still would have taken a good bit out of him. Stuart, you touched on the fact that Saxon Warrior ran in this meeting last year. The first maiden there, Aidan, tends to send some good ones to it, so I obviously don't have any fancies, but be interesting to see what he sends or what actually turns up in that race, because it's a potential one for the future as well.
Absolutely. Now, lads, without giving away your nap for Saturday, is there anything else that's caught your eye at either Wolverhampton, Newton Abbott, Lingfield or Chelmsford?
There's a big 100 grand handicap with Chelmsford, isn't there?
There is, yes.
It's worth talking about, because they do put a hell of a lot of good money on all the time, and they don't always get rewarded with the runners, like, you know what I mean? But this is a good handicap. Let me just see if I can find the race. Chelmsford City Cup handicap, now I do like Man Kib a fair bit. I think he's a really, really progressive horse. Obviously beat top score at Newbury. He didn't run easily enough at Thirsk, and he's stepping into handicap company now. He's off a high enough mark, but I think he'll go well. He's a decent horse.
And
Man Kib, sorry, let's find you the point. That is the 7:45 at Chelmsford.
Perfect. Thank you, Paul. And David, any other fancies?
Yeah, in the 4:35 at the Curragh, I'm going to give Pat Duano, number 8, another chance. William McCreary and Billy Lee has been set some really difficult tasks at stakes level. Back in a handicap, likes the Curragh, loads of pace. I think that can go well. I think it could have some scope for improvement off America of 86. So Pat Duano. 435, brutal pronunciation.
Absolutely, good choice. And Neil?
It's actually going back to Chester, the 425. If Grell shows up, what's the weather been like over there, guys? Is there any sign of rain?
I think it's supposed to dry up again, isn't it? I mean, I don't think the ground's going to be particularly fast there, but I think it's going to dry up again next week. So.
Okay, yeah, I tipped him up for the St. Wilfred handicap in the last postcast. He finished third. He's far better on with a bit of cut in the ground. So if there was any rain to come and he does turn up, I think he'd be a good shout.
Perfect. Right. It is nap time. So we will turn to the Saturday naps.
This will not be beaten.
There we go. Lovely stuff. And Paul Keeley, you lead away.
I think I'm going to go a bit of value. 205 Chester, Lualiwa.
Perfect. Neil?
I'll go for a bit of value as well and take on the two lads' fancies in the 150 at Sandown with Global Applause.
Perfect. And DJ, I've saved the best till last here, so knock it out of the park.
No, it's me last. 6:45 at Chelmsford, Concierge.
Brilliant. And anything else on Sunday, lads? Obviously, we got racing at Brighton and Worcester.
Right, well, they're not the most enticing cards, but Lightning Charlie won very easily over the course. Last time it was only a four-runner race, but he's only up £4 for it. Amanda Perrott's booked Jason Watson, 3 o'clock at Brighton. Lightning Charlie was just about the only one I could find.
Perfect. Neil, David, anything on Sunday?
All Ireland final here on Sunday, Stuart.
Perfect.
Yeah, Dublin beat their own. No Irish racing. Oh, look, Dublin will probably win it, right? They probably will. But the handicap is 6 with Paddy Power. And I think it's going to be closer than that. I think Tyrone are underestimated. And I think Dublin will win by about... I think the bet is potentially Dublin to win by 1, 2, or 3 points. But for punters listening in, there's a great bet in the match with Paddy Power. You can back the second half of the match to be the highest scoring half at 4-6. It should be 2-5. The second half will have more scores than the first half, I can almost guarantee you. So anybody listening in that doesn't listen to our GAA podcast, which has just been recorded, second half to be the highest scoring half in Dublin v Tyrone.
There you go. We bring you value in every market going. Thank you so much for watching, for listening, for joining us. If you've enjoyed the show, please make sure you rate, review and subscribe on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes or any other platform that you are listening to us from. And we will be back on Monday with another racing podcast.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower. And we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather or the gym.